Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Is that making a noise, Drew?
It'll go away.
Okay. Good. Psalm 22. I want to read this psalm. These are the words of the Lord from the cross. And that title, which is inspired, I don't know how to pronounce it, means the mind of the morning. Mourning as in mourning, not mourning time, but mourning over loss. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot at the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob. Glorify him, and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in a great congregation. I'll pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You and praise You for who You are, the living God, the God of all glory, the God of all grace, the God of all comfort, the God of all mercy, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His name that we might be enabled to worship Him. We ask in His name that Your gospel would be preached in the power of Your Spirit, and that You would grant us hearing ears and receptive hearts. Give us a word from You. Lord, we pray for Your mercy on those being afflicted at this time according to Your will. Lord, we would especially pray for Lynn, that Your healing hand would continue to be upon her. Lord, we thank You for the gospel You've given us. We thank You for the friendship You've given us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be with us and bless us for His sake, and be with all Your people wherever they meet together. And Lord, forgive us of our many sins for Christ's sake. How we thank You for the glorious gift of justification. In His blessed name we pray. Amen. Now this is what is known as the Psalm of the Cross. And you can see that real clearly, couldn't you? The Psalm of the Cross. Look in verse 1. We know the Lord said this from the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Look in verse 16. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Talking about His crucifixion, even at this time. Look in verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. It was foretold that this would take place. Indeed, this is the Psalm of the Cross. And some have even suggested that the Lord quoted this whole psalm as He was nailed to that cross. And that certainly would not surprise me. My God, and these are the words of Christ. And I don't know how to say this properly, but He's not saying my Father at this time. God was His Father. But when He is nailed to the cross, He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The Lord uttered those words from the thick darkness of the cross, when God had turned the lights out and there was nothing but thick darkness. From that darkness, He cried. The Son of God cried. The Creator cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Now, He gives us the answer in verse 3. It's not like He didn't know what was taking place. It's not like He was asking this for information. Here's the reason. Verse 3, Thou art holy. Now that's the reason God forsook His Son. Because He is holy. My God, why have You forsaken me? The Son of God, the apple of God's eye, makes this cry, why have You forsaken me? Well, number one, because I deserve to be forsaken by God. Because he's holy. And that's the first reason. I'm not going to say it's the first in importance. I'm going to give five or six reasons here. But the reason he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because that is exactly what I personally deserve. To be forsaken. To be cut off by God. Why did he cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He is fulfilling God's holy purpose. I don't know of a scripture that I enjoy more than Revelation 13:8. "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." I enjoy that verse of scripture so much. And let me tell you why I enjoy it so much. That lets me know that my salvation has absolutely nothing to do with me. It was accomplished by Christ before I was ever born. And he is forsaken to fulfill God's holy purpose as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is forsaken that the Holy Scriptures might be fulfilled. You know, I read that passage of Scripture that they parted my garments, cast lot for my vesture. You know, it's almost like when those guys were doing that stuff to the Lord on the cross, they almost had to read, "But what do we do next?" And they didn't know, obviously. But it is almost like they had to read. "Well, here's what's coming next. He said, we're going to do this." Of course, they weren't thinking that way, but that's what took place. Everything that happened, happened according to the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That the Holy Scriptures might be fulfilled. He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the glory of this holy God. You say, how does that glorify God? Oh, every attribute of God is made manifest in him forsaking his Son. His purpose, his holiness, his justice, his love, his immutability, his grace. Every attribute of God is glorified in the Son of God being forsaken by his Father. Do you see that? The glory of God in the cross. He was forsaken because he loved me. Now that's true of every believer. He was forsaken because he loved me. He loved me to the point that he would take my sin and make it his very own and suffer for it that I might not have to. He loved me. And he was forsaken as the ultimate act of obedience and faith. His Father told him to go be nailed to that cross. He said, "Yes, Father. Yes, Father." The ultimate act of obedience to his Father. What glorious words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He didn't have any help from God. You know, the Father wasn't strengthening him at this time. He was left alone. He had no help from his Father. Verse 2. "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But here's the reason all this is, but thou art holy." Thou art holy. Oh, thou that, I love this, you inhabit the praises of Israel. When one of God's people or all of God's people praise him, he inhabits those praises. Can you praise him right now in your heart? I'm not talking about even out loud right now, but I mean in your heart. Can you praise him for, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When God looks in your heart, does he see praise and thanksgiving for this glorious work of Christ on the cross?
Now he says in verse 4 and 5, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Every believer that trusts, they're not confounded. But this is the word of the Son of God. And let me just read it. The Son of God says, I am a worm. And not even fit to be called a man. Now that's how truly he was made sin. You know what a worm is? A maggot. What is more disgusting than a maggot? And that's what the Son of God calls himself when he was made sin. And that's how he viewed himself. Now, I can't explain this. We can adore him. We stand amazed. But here's what the Son of God says of himself. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All, look at this, verse 7. All that see me laugh me to scorn. This is man's contempt of Christ. They enjoy seeing him suffer. They enjoy it. That's their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's me and you. That would describe us. We think, oh, surely not. Surely. Surely. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They're making fun of him as he hangs from the cross. And they actually said that. But, verse 9 and 10, he speaks of his near and dear relationship, his eternal relationship with his Father. He says, thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You know, even as he was forsaken of God, even as he felt himself to be nothing more than a worm when he was made sin, he never quit believing God. Somebody had to believe God perfectly, and somebody did. The Son of God. He says in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have set me round about. Now this speaks of those who hated him. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Now think of the things people said to him as he hung from the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Making fun of him. Yet truer words have never been spoken. For me or you to be saved, he couldn't save himself. Hail, King of the Jews! They said in mocking and jest, were truer words ever said, he is truly the King of the Jews. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, we hate him so much that we're fine with getting charged with his death. Let it be imputed to our children. What a prayer. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Prophesy thou Christ. Who hit thee when they struck him with their open hands? Who smote thee? Awake, O sword. Smite the shepherd. Smite the shepherd. I know who smote him. Now even in their rage, in their ravening, roaring, lioness words, how they, the wrath of man shall praise thee. And didn't the wrath of man praise him at that time? Now he talks about his physical sufferings. Verse 14, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And who brought him to the dust of death? Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. He knew who this was of. Verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Now the Lord is telling us this. This was written 1,000 years before it took place. But remember when the Scripture says in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This was God's way of putting away the sins of His people. The piercing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him being nailed to a tree. Look what He says in verse 17. I may tell or I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Now, did He see every single one of His bones at this time? Yes. Because His bones are His people. And He can count every one of them. It's a fixed number. I don't know how many elect sinners there are. It's a bunch, but it's a fixed number. It can't be added to or taken away from. And He said, every one of these bones stare at me. We're doing that right now, aren't we? We're looking to Him. That same word, stare, is the word used with reference to the children of Israel looking to the brazen serpent. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Just as He said it would take place. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Make haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Now these verses speak of Him being completely delivered over to Satan. The roaring of the lion. The Lord allowed Satan to do what He wanted to do out of hatred to Christ. And this is what I love thinking about. While Satan was performing his rage against the Christ, he was God's pawn doing God's will. Now, he wasn't aware of that, but that's the case. He was God's pawn performing God's will. And that's what our Lord was doing on Calvary's tree. Now He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. Now that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 2. And never has His name been declared more clearly than right here on the cross. He's making known every one of God's glorious attributes. And He calls us His brethren. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm His brother. Every child of God is His brother and His sister. Ye that fear the Lord. Verse 23. Now, the fear of God is not a slavish fear. I'm afraid if I don't do right, He's going to get me. He's going to take it out. If I don't give, He'll take it out in the coffin. If I don't quit doing this sin or that sin, He's going to cause me to have cancer, or He's going to give me a heart attack, or He's going to... That's the way people think, but that's not the fear of God. It has nothing to do with the fear of God. The fear of God is that reverence for Him that will make you afraid to look anywhere but Christ alone as all your salvation. Now, that's the fear of God. He says, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all the seed of Israel. That's talking about the elect. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath He hid His face from him, but when he cried unto Him, He heard. Now listen to this. You've got the ear of God. Is that amazing or what? You, every believer, has the ear of God Almighty because He turned His ear away from Christ. Now you have His ear. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. Now that's the Lord speaking. He's the only one to ever pay His vows. He paid them. The meek, verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Now I love this thing, satisfaction. I don't know how many times I've had people respond to me in preaching and say, there's got to be more than that. You just never seen. That's all I can say. You just never seen. Because do you know what it is to be satisfied with being saved by Him? Where He gets all the glory, none goes to you, and you like it that way. And you're not looking for anything else. It is finished. It's finished. Satisfaction. I'm not looking for anything. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Him. I'm satisfied with His way of salvation. Somebody says, well, you ought to be saved. I know I should. But I'm just satisfied to be saved by what He did without my works. I find complete satisfaction in that. The meek, the lowly shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world. Now, whenever you find the ends of the world, that's in the Scripture. Look at me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. It's in Isaiah a lot. The ends of the world are the zeros. The nothings. Now, if you are a nothing, it's so easy for Christ to be your everything, isn't it? That's the ends of the earth. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's. He is the governor among the nations. Now this is speaking of His absolute sovereignty. I love the Scripture, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all His. This is my Father's world. And He's the governor. The Lord Jesus Christ is the governor. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. This is, once again, His absolute sovereignty. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. Now all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. That means they're going to be bowing down. This is not talking about the meek of verse 26. This is really talking about the wicked. All they to be fat upon the earth, they have plenty that so they think, they shall eat, they shall bow down. All that go down to the dust shall bow before Him. This is what they're going to do. Every knee is going to bow. And none can keep alive his own soul. Now these last two verses, I've written in my notes that I want to preach on these one of these days. Just these two verses. A seed shall serve Him. The seed of Abraham, the elect of God. They shall serve Him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They shall serve Him. You see, they're His seed. A seed shall serve Him, and this seed shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation, His offspring, His children, His people. This seed is the seed of God. Now here is the gospel ministry. They shall come. The seed. They shall come. And here's what they shall do. They shall declare His righteousness. That's their message. They'll declare His righteousness. His righteousness in the gospel. Salvation by the righteousness of Christ. The obedience of Christ. This is their message. Never get tired of this. This is their message. They shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born. They'll be born again. They'll be born from above. They'll be regenerated. These are the people that are going to rejoice in this message. They shall come and declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He had done this. This is His work from the beginning to the end. He hath done this. Salvation, listen to me, salvation's not what you do. It's not what you do not do. Salvation is what He has done. It is finished. And that is our message. And I know who's going to believe it. The people that shall be born. The people born of God, born of the Spirit. That's a glorious psalm, isn't it? The psalm of the cross.